BBC Holby City. Starring Adam Astill as Dan, Jimmy Akinbola as Malik, Harry Dillon as Michael, and Tina Hobley as Chrissy. Hand in Glove, written by Sasha Hales and Nick Fisher. Previously...
The guy had it coming.
Would you mind handing your pass to HR on your way out?
You do not want to lose the Malik.
For the next 5 minutes, can we pretend it's just me and you?
Sometimes I think you're the only man in my life that acts like a grown-up.
Sorry, Chrissy, I've got to get on.
Stay out of my relationship.
I told you, I don't want to see Chrissy end up as collateral.
How dare you lecture me?
Please.
Don't laugh at me.
Joker.
Don't laugh at me.
I pity you.
Dan swings a punch but misses. Then Malik hits him back. Dan's nose is bleeding.
Come on, man, I barely touched you. Dan. Let me take a look. Oh!
Storming out of the toilets, Dan leaves Malik stunned and staring at the blood all over the sink and floor. Malik rushes out after Dan and follows a trail of blood leading down the corridor. Seeing a bloody handprint smeared over a glass door, Malik runs towards it and finds Dan in a stairwell, his face covered in blood.
That means looking at
me. I'm blaming you.
You can't go on a ward like that. What are you going to say?
Scared about how people might react to me punching me.
You know, that would not be good for...
For you. Mr. Malik has a history of violence, doesn't he?
You don't want people to be asking why.
I'm not the first consultant you've punched.
You tried to stick one on me.
I just defended myself.
No witnesses. Fancying us to hear about this.
Is that how you're going on? All right. What if Chrissy hears about it? About you trying to kiss my face off?
Dan's eyes fill with panic.
Lift. Chin. Breasts. Tummy tuck.
Tummy tuck, really?
Yeah, I know the guy who did it, Swiss. He would have charged the GDP of a small African nation.
Breasts?
Twice, once in Florida, once in London. She prefers the Anglo profile.
She's got something to be happy about.
Oh, probably her divorce settlement. I am off home to celebrate. The cardiac trauma unit just got the thumbs up from Hanson.
Oh, that's fantastic news.
Yeah, congratulations.
You must let us take you out for a drink.
Well, as tempting as that might sound, gentlemen...
Another time, then.
Yeah, that would be nice. Bye.
Take it she doesn't know.
What do you take me for?
In the locker room, Dan's applying surgical glue to a wound on his cheekbone when his mobile vibrates. It's a text from Malik which reads, "Think very carefully about your next move." No one can tell me just what it is. His mind reeling, he slips his phone into a trouser pocket, then unbuttons his shirt, which he crumples and throws into a bin. Bare-chested, he pulls his phone back out and sits on a bench, staring intensely at the text, looking lost and confused. He rests his head on his hands. Now wearing clean clothes, Dan takes a seat in the darkened and deserted Wyvern coffee shop. Sitting alone, he keeps staring at his phone when suddenly it rings and the caller's name appears on screen. It's Chrissy. He puts the phone down on the table and lets it ring, leaning back in his chair with a pained expression. In speeded-up motion, dawn rises and the sun climbs into the heavens as the clouds hurtle through the sky. Dan awakens, slumped over the coffee shop table. Bleary-eyed,
He slowly takes in his surroundings, then grabs his phone and shuffles away, walking past Michael, who's at the counter.
Double espresso and a bottle of water. A large one.
Hey! Proof copy of the Plastics promotional brochure, hot off the press.
Nice.
For your perusal and comment.
Well, it's a nice picture of you on the cover.
Can I help it if the camera loves me?
And on the inside. And another one.
On the last page, a tiny picture of Michael.
Hey!
Heading towards the Keller ward, Dan stops in his tracks when he sees Chrissy at the nurse's station. He touches the prominent wound on his cheek, then backtracks and walks out. Sahira's walking down the Darwin ward when something in one of the bays catches her attention.
Why have you changed the curtains? Is this a plastics bay now?
I'm afraid so. We need the space.
Well, have you authorised it with Hanson?
Of course. We wouldn't do anything that wasn't rubber stamped from above.
You've taken another bed bay.
We're like you. We're just slaves to the man.
She walks off, and Michael holds up the brochure to Sunil.
Mr. Barty.
A man and a pregnant woman enter the Keller lobby.
Slow down. I can't go so fast.
The man rushes towards some toilets.
Oh, mate, that's the lady. Yeah, the gents are just through here.
You okay?
Where does it hurt?
The man's wet himself.
Sorry, I didn't realise.
We're gonna go.
Mike!
It's okay. Can we get a wheelchair, please?
I'm not a cripple. It's here. It's my back. Here.
Steady. Keep breathing deeply. This happens frequently.
It's private.
He's a doctor.
Yeah, and this is my business.
I'm a consultant on Keller. I think you need some urgent tests.
No, I'm okay.
Yes, please.
We're gonna go. Come on.
Can we get that wheelchair now, please?
Ego is a terrible thing.
Yours or mine?
Both.
Yours is being massaged all over this brochure, while mine has been reduced to a PS at the back. And could you have made my picture any smaller?
Executive decision.
Your executive decision?
Look, we have to sell Holby Plastics, NHS and private, and so we promote our most sellable and sought-after commodity. That is me. Hi, Mrs. Goldman.
Hi, hello.
I haven't forgotten you're going to come back and have that chat very soon, okay? And may I say, you look radiant today.
Thank you.
Look, I have been a consultant for 8 years.
Yes, but not in plastics. It's a small world, Michael. It's not procedures that sell. I mean, we all do the same thing, more or less. It's personality.
Your personality.
In the world of plastics, Sunil Bharti is a big name. Michael Spence, not yet.
You telling me I have to earn my place on our brochure?
Case in point, Katie Green. Very high profile. The first funnel-chested 16-year-old to have a double mammary implant at Holby or anywhere in the Southwest. 16 years old, Michael. This is not your run-of-the-mill boob job.
Then I should do it.
Michael, we know you are a brilliant surgeon. But in this case, they are paying for Sunil Bharti.
Either we're a team or we're not. Raising my profile doubles the amount of high-profile surgeries that we can do. And in this case, bigger is better.
Hey, do these look too small to you?
Wheeling Mike into Keller, Dan reluctantly addresses Malik.
Can you give me a hand?
You should have let me do the dressing. Looks crap.
What do you mean by that text?
I need to look after myself.
What happened to you?
Oh, I was a patient.
He didn't duck quick enough.
What patient?
Long gone. Last night, he...
Oh, what is it?
Oh, nothing. It's fine. Motor weakness, incontinency, loss of feeling in his limbs and his knees and ankles have diminished bilaterally. Can you feel that, Mr...
No. Oh.
Okay, I'd like to send him for a CT. It could be spinal.
Who's your GP?
You didn't sign up for it, did you?
I've been busy.
Mike!
Let's talk about this another time.
You didn't call last night.
Yeah, sorry, I got crazy.
So, what happened?
It got between a father and son.
Chrissy spots Dan exchanging looks with Malik.
Were you there?
Hey, come on, Chris. If I had been there, you think I'd let this happen?
Oh, he's going to be sick again.
I'm going to need that CT as soon as possible.
A suspicious Chrissy walks off. Sasha steps cheerfully into the locker room. Opening his locker, he looks at a photo of Chrissy with the baby stuck to the inside of the door. Instantly, his bright mood fades away. He peels off the photo and folds it in half, cutting off Grissy's head and leaving just the baby visible. Then he sticks it back in its place. Stepping out into the corridor, he bumps into Rosalind, an attractive brunette in her early 40s, whose bag drops to the floor.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
My fault. Could you possibly point me back in the direction of AAU? I've managed to get myself totally lost.
Yes, sorry. Down there and to the left.
It's like a labyrinth.
Easy to get lost, for sure. But no minotaurs, I promise.
Minotaurs?
Half man, half bull. Sorry, mythological creature.
Yes, sorry.
Inhabits the labyrinth.
Sorry, my brain is...
Too early for Greek mythology.
Not quite firing on all cylinders yet, sorry. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. And...
Mesmerised, Sasha stares at her bum as she trots away. Michael's examining Katie's chest.
Okay, we're done. You can put your gown back on.
Michael stares at some x-rays with a frown.
Can you page Miss Naylor for me?
Is there a problem?
No, it's just protocol.
You know the worst thing about being funnel-chested?
Tell me.
Lingerie.
Oh, here we go.
You look at any designer lingerie range in the store.
He doesn't want to hear this, Katie.
Well, I do have an ex-wife who's shaped like a catwalk model, so I bought my share of lingerie in my time.
I want to wake up in my own bra after the operation. The hospital ones are horrible.
Well, the hospital bras are medical. They protect you and the implants.
They're not very pretty, though, are they?
Let me guess. You have brought in a pretty one.
Of course.
Well, I suppose I could put yours over the hospital one, as long as there's no underwire. How's that sound?
Told you. That was easy.
You wanted to see me.
Excuse me. I asked for Miss Naylor.
Well, like so many things around here, she's been whisked away. So if plastics need a cardiologist, which would be a delicious irony, you got me.
If I'd been there, you think I'd let this happen? So what, we just joke about this now?
No, but we have to get our story straight. Got between a father and a son. Please.
I thought that sounded very genuine.
You're kidding me, right? Whatever. Look, we have to read off the same page. Otherwise, Chrissy'll smell a rat. She's not thick.
Is she not? Well, thank you for telling me about my girlfriend.
Dan, she's my friend too, you know? So we've both got stuff to lose if this gets out.
Chrissy clocks them talking together.
I'm sure it's fine. She's been cleared through all the pre-op checks, and I don't want to run any more tests for the sake of it. I just wanted your approval.
Well, you haven't got it.
Look, this is an equivocal finding, and you won't find anything of concern, okay? She's had a number of CT scans and got the all clear.
This isn't the all clear.
Oh, come on. You're just being difficult. Look, I get it. The success of the plastics unit, you're feeling edged out.
If this shadow is a ventricular leak, then the operation could put her under a lot of stress. She needs an echo.
Look, she's been through a lot more than kids her own age. You know, she needs this operation for her mental health.
A pair of breasts might be all it takes to cheer you up.
Oh, come on, and emotionally and psychologically beneficial.
And medically, she needs an echo.
Fine, but you're not going to put her off. She has convinced her mother to go private. She has her heart set on this.
And it's her heart that I'm worried about.
His heart rate's high, BP's normal, but he's sweaty and clammy. He's increased abdominal pain.
He's bleeding.
It's fine.
Malik appears.
Tenderness and guarding.
I need an FBC, user knees, LFTs, and 10 milligrams of IV morphine for the pain.
Did anyone else see this happen?
Where are the CT results? We need them now.
I could run a laparoscopy. Quickest way to find out.
You can find a theatre free.
Malik leaves.
Did you report it? Why not?
What happened here?
Appendix scan.
Really? Bit of a butcher's job?
Mike remains silent.
Oh, Sasha, I need your help. I'm trying to do a history, but it's difficult.
What's the problem?
I've got a man with progressive non-fluent aphasia coupled with vascular dementia and incremental loss of motor skills. He had a fall. ED sent him through to us for 48 hours surveillance.
I hate it when they do that. They've got CDU.
Mr. Timms, this is Mr. Levy, your doctor. He fell down the stairs, suspected cracked rib, but his fast scan and his head CT came back clear.
Morning, Mr. Timms. Going to take a look at your chest, OK?
I don't know how to take his history when I can't understand him.
Yeah, great. Just, you know, keep trying.
Yeah. Hello again. You Daddy's doctor?
Mr. Levy.
Rosalind Timms.
Enchanted.
I thought you were leaving.
Come on, Dad, get back to bed. We're good now. Here, bed. See?
I don't know if you know, Nurse McKee, but PNFA is a very specific dementia. It takes away the ability to speak, but not necessarily the ability to understand. So can we organise a chest CT, please? Thank you.
I'm daft.
Don't say that. You're not daft.
Definitely not. And it certainly is a very challenging condition to be saddled with at your time of life, sir. It can be very befuddling. I promise we'll make life easier for you, Mr. Timms, but we need to get you back into bed, OK? There we go.
Rosalind takes Sasha's hand.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
Oh, it's all right. It's no problem. We'll look at the CT and then take it from there.
Thank you.
Nothing, really. A bientôt.
Sasha joins Eddie.
A bientôt.
It's too much, wasn't it?
I think there are signs of pulmonary hypertension.
She had a congenital heart defect as a child, VSD. It was closed via catheter when she was tiny, and she's had no problems since.
I'm not convinced that the VSD closed itself completely.
What if it hasn't? It's not affecting her physically. Look, this is a simple implant operation, not a chest reconstruction.
She may have had previous CT scans, but in my opinion, they may have been interpreted incorrectly.
Am I hearing sour grapes?
What you should be hearing is that you, her consultant, need to stabilize her heart problem before any cosmetic work can be done.
Your heart problem is hypothetical. Her emotional and physical problem, due to feeling deformed, is real. Like you said, I'm her consultant.
Did you glue this?
Leave it. It's fine.
I need Why didn't Malik do it?
He had stuff to do.
And he didn't have time.
I'll be with you in a minute, Mr. Milburn.
I love you. I'll be waiting.
Look after Mrs. Milburn for me.
Sure.
Thank you.
You know, you are being really odd about this.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. Why didn't you report it?
It was a situation. I didn't handle it very well.
It was assault.
It was my fault. I got in the way.
And where was Malik?
It's got nothing to do with Malik.
Who really hit you?
I told you.
What did he look like?
Drunk.
How old was he?
Young.
What colour hair did he have?
Stop it.
What was his name?
Leave it, please.
She shuts the door.
I know this had something to do with Malik. You are not telling me the truth about something. Did Malik do this?
The echo showed you may have a ventricular leak.
What's that in English?
It means Katie's heart might come under strain in the operation.
What do you mean, might?
They're just covering their backs, Mum. They always do it.
Are you trying to tell us that we can't have the operation?
If you were my daughter, I would wait for further tests.
I've had hundreds of tests. I don't want to wait any longer.
I don't think Miss Shaw is trying to stop you from having the operation. She's just trying to outline the worst possible case scenario.
I just want the operation.
Where's Mr. Barty? I'd like to hear what he has to say about this.
Mr. Barty would say exactly the same as me. Any risk is minimal.
Katie, you do fully understand the risks.
I could die from the general anaesthetic. I could die if my blood clotted. I could be paralysed if he puts his knife in the wrong place. I don't care. I don't want to live like this anymore.
Katie opens her gown. Rosalind's father, Arthur, pours a jug of water
Daddy.
Over himself.
Have a new gown here, please. Oh, these degenerative illnesses can suddenly take a leap forward.
So, chest CT came back clear. No broken ribs. He's free to go.
I'd like to keep him in, actually, and monitor him. That's OK. It's what ED suggested. We'll be back in a minute, OK? There's something else going on here.
Yeah, like you taking him hostage so you can, I don't know, hypnotise her with all your bad jokes and your school boyfriend.
I'm serious. PNFA sufferers lose language facility but keep their logic. He would have poured water over himself for a reason, even though it seems daft to us.
So you're telling me you're keeping him in here purely for medical reasons?
Yes.
And nothing to do with the fact that his daughter happens to be your idea of a very attractive woman?
Oh, no way!
It better not be, Sasha, because I've had it up to here today with hard patients, and if you are cluttering up my ward just for the sake of your fantasy life, then...
Honest, trust me. There's something not right.
In the Keller Theatre...
You're late. There's inflammation in the terminal ileum. Could be Crohn's disease or possibly a cancerous mass.
And that is not like any appendix scar I've ever seen.
That's what he told his wife.
Maybe he's keeping something from her. Men do, you know? Looks like a stab wound to me.
We need to stop or he might arrest.
Just want to get this. Put him on 100% oxygen. Right, got it. That should solve the mystery. Send that to histology.
Normal sinus rhythm.
So, what did you tell Chrissy?
I stuck with the patient's story.
And she bought it?
She's fine. She's just cross with me for not calling last night.
Be honest, do you really think that this procedure should be going ahead?
I think she's thought it through. She's done her research, she understands the risks, and this is what she wants.
She's 16.
Yeah, well, that's why she wants it done so badly. She does it now, she can move on with the rest of her life.
Well, what about Sunil? Does he know about the echo?
No.
Shouldn't he?
He's not my boss, he's my partner. All right, look, if you're so worried, come join me in theater. I learned something. Katie. Miss Shaw is happy for the operation to go ahead, but she recommends that there be a cardiac surgeon present in theater to monitor your heart. Unfortunately, our cardiac specialist, Miss Naylor, is unavailable today. But I have managed to persuade Miss Shaw to be present herself. So, if you agree, we're on. I just have some consent forms for you to sign.
Thank you so much. Sorry, I just thought you were going to say it was cancelled.
There's abscess in the gut.
And one in the spinal canal. It can't be unrelated. What would have caused it?
We'll need his medical history. It doesn't add up. He's not telling us everything. Look, one perfectly intact appendix.
Dan and Malik head over to Mike's bedside.
I'm afraid you had a very nasty reaction to the general anaesthetic in there, Mr. Milbourne. It could have been very dangerous. You ever had an allergic reaction to a general anaesthetic before?
No, I don't think so.
How about when you had your appendix out?
Oh, I don't know, I was six, I don't really... Look, can anybody send my long-suffering wife in the direction of a cup of tea around here?
I'm staying with you.
Could you get Mum a cup of tea, please?
Yes, Mr. Malik.
You know this could be risky, Michael.
Not with me. Okay, so Katie has given me a CD to play in theatre. For luck. Who do you think it is? Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Jessie J?
Are you some kind of expert on teenage girls' music?
Oh, like you wouldn't believe. You have boys?
One of each, tiny. We're still happy with Wheels on the Bus, thankfully.
Well, I have three girls, one boy, and one ex-wife.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It happens. Scalpel? So come on, guess.
All right, okay. Lily Allen. I like this. This is good.
Yeah, see? Yeah. I told you, this is no ordinary girl. Yeah, diameters look fine.
The different sizes.
Well, we're going to disguise the abnormality rather than correct it. Tractor? You? Will you?
Sure.
Okay. We are going to change this girl's life forever. As her heart. Told you. Fit as a fiddle. Perfect rhythm. But I have to say, it's very nice having you in my theater anyway.
I need you not to make a thing with this, please.
This is ridiculous. Why are you protecting him?
I'm not. He already has a dodgy track record with Hanson. You know this.
Okay, thank you. No Mike Milbourne on the system.
Excuse me. Can we have a moment? We can't find your husband's medical records. No Mike Milbourne with his DOB on the system.
Maybe there's something wrong with the system.
His appendix operation.
What do you mean? Are you calling my husband a liar?
I'm sure there's an explanation.
Well, I don't understand. What are you saying?
It's very difficult for us to diagnose his problem without his medical history.
We were hoping you might be able to throw some light on it for us.
We can't risk another operation without knowing more about his medical past. It could be very dangerous.
Okay, I'll do what I can.
Dan checks his ringing beeper. He shares a tense look with Chrissy, then walks off. Once he's out of sight, Malik approaches her.
He told you, didn't he?
Haven't seen him in 2 weeks. He's got a lot worse.
Do you know what medication he's on?
Hundreds of pills. He loves them. Don't know what they're called, though.
Do you look after him a lot?
2 days a week the kids go to their dad's, I have him. It's pretty full on.
Mr. Levy, Mr. Timms needs the gents, so...
I'll take him. Oh, and can you point Miss Timms in the direction of a cup of tea, please?
Call me Rosalind.
Rosalind.
Eddie's amused by Sasha's behaviour.
Why, Malik?
Ask Dan.
I did.
What did he say?
Not much. Is this all because of yesterday? Because he clumsily took credit for your work?
You really think I do that?
You punched a consultant last year because he disagreed with your diagnosis.
Yeah, that's because he was risking a patient's life. I told you that.
And Dan?
Chrissy.
He's trying to protect you. You know, I think he's afraid of you.
You want to know the truth?
Yes.
He punched me first. Honest, I was just defending myself.
You really expect me to believe that? With your track record?
Chrissy walks away. Dan is at Mike's bedside.
According to your CT, Mr. Milbourne, you have acute cord compression due to the spinal cord abscess. If it's left any longer, the condition could become irreversible. We need to operate.
Okay, if that's what's needed.
I'm not prepared to go back into theatre without medical records. We can't run the risk of another allergic reaction.
Apparently you're not in the system, Mike. They've been giving me grief.
Can we just leave her out of this, please?
They say you lied about your appendix operation.
You still have an appendix. I need precise medical history if I'm going to operate.
I thought my mum said it was my appendix. It must have been something else.
Can you excuse us, please, Mrs. Milburn? I'd like to talk to your husband in private. Just for a moment.
Jenny leaves them alone and passes Malik, who's watching from afar. Mike waits until Jenny is out of earshot.
Listen, there's a few things about me that my wife doesn't know about, okay? I'd like it to stay that way. I did a bit of time in prison, under another name. I don't think now's the time for Jen to find it out, not in her condition.
It's not her I'm going to operate on.
Swivers, Michael Swivers.
Dan nods, then walks over to Malik.
You told Chrissy.
She dug it out of me. But I made a promise not to take it any further.
Further? Like where? No. She better not take this anywhere.
Chrissy lets herself into Hanson's office, but finds it empty. She steps into the middle of the room, then Hanson appears in the doorway behind her.
May I help? Sister Williams?
There's been an incident on Keller. Mr. Malik and Mr. Hamilton have been fighting.
He quietly shuts the door.
Now, Nurse McKee thought you might need the gents, sir.
Man to man?
Oh, you want to buy something?
Right.
We've got a cafe. A pharmacy? Newsagents? Newsagents?
Arthur links his arm with Sasha's and they walk together.
Did anyone see the fight take place?
No, I don't think so.
Anyone hurt?
Yes. Mr. Hamilton.
By Mr. Malik?
Yes. And I'm just worried that Mr. Malik has a rather aggressive attitude.
Was this a professional or personal disagreement?
I don't know.
Well, thank you for bringing it to my attention.
So what do you intend to do about it?
Whatever's necessary.
Chrissy appears slightly unnerved as she leaves. Left alone, Hanson's impassive expression fades away, replaced with anger.
Did a good job in there today.
Come on, we cut 2 slits and slipped in a couple of silicone bags. I've had duvet covers more difficult to fit.
Hey, it's an art, more sculpture than surgery.
More BS. Compared to cardiacs, it's like a picnic at the beach.
Every surgeon thinks their discipline is hardest.
Here we are. Right, what can I get you? Coffee? Tea? Sandwich? Drizzle stick? Oh, a magazine.
Arthur chooses a dirty mag.
Oh, that kind of magazine. Oh, my God. Do you want a sandwich? No. OK, I think we should pass on the magazine for now. Arthur, yes. OK, Arthur. Come on. Come on.
Sasha leads him back into the lift. Michael's talking to Katie.
Everything went extremely well. Totally to plan.
Katie gasps at seeing her implants.
Take a picture for my profile page of me and my surgeon.
Ah, well, then we should have Miss Sean as well.
Come on, don't be a spoiled sport.
Come on.
Oh, lovely. What's that?
I feel funny.
Okay, your heart rate's a little slow. We just want to speed that up.
Katie, sweetheart.
I'm just going to massage your neck to help your heart out, all right?
What's happening to her?
She's developing heart block. We need the crash team.
A nurse gives Sahira a defibrillator.
Charging 200.
Okay,
clear.
Stand
Katie.
By. We can't shock her if you're holding her.
Katie. Charging 300. This isn't working. We need to get her into theatre now!
Guys!
What's happening?
We're trying to regulate the rhythm of her heart.
It's all right, sweetheart. It's gonna be okay. Come on, quick. This is what she warned might happen, isn't it? If anything happens to her, I will kill you.
Dan comes across Hansen standing in a corridor, motionless and steely-eyed.
4 o'clock, Mr. Hamilton.
Sorry?
Is when I want to see you in my office.
Okay, sure. About what?
Hansen's eyes flit across to the stitched-up cut on Dan's face. Dan suddenly becomes anxious.
Make sure the wire goes in far enough away from the cavity to protect the implants.
My first concern is her heart, not her plastic surgery.
You pierce the implants, it'll cause more problems.
Well, we just have to take them out.
You really want her to wake up with 2 big scars and no implants?
I just want her to wake up. He's a liability.
You realize what you've done?
Don't get angry with me. He's the one who punched you.
I punched him first.
That's just what Malik told you to tell me.
I told you not to get involved.
Why didn't you tell me you punched him?
I didn't tell you because I missed.
When Malik said that you...
I started it, Chrissy. Do you understand? If anyone's responsible for this fight, it's me.
Yeah, but he still has a terrible...
Do you realize what you've done? With his history, is that what you want? And me? I'm responsible for punching my registrar. Think Hansen's gonna like that?
Okay. Advancing the electrode.
Come on, come on. She's developing arrhythmia.
Okay, we'll try again. Advancing the electrode.
Come on, come on. All right, come on. You want me to try?
No. I can't do it much. You think you can?
Hey, I wasn't always just a boob job man.
Well, you are now. Excuse me. My daughter's in theatre. In there. Could you find out what's going on for me, please?
Sorry.
Dan's keeping an eye on the clock. It's 3:30.
Right. This is more like it. I've got his medical record. Stab wound, just like I said. Turns out our Mike, as a teenager, got into a ruck and stabbed a kid. Then the kid died and Mike ended up in juvenile detention for manslaughter. The scar is just a stab wound.
So he almost had his appendix out?
And I might have also solved the abscess. He had TB in prison. And we both know he hasn't seen a doctor since he left.
So he stopped taking his medication?
TB's come back.
Good spot.
Sorry, Mr. Hamilton. Am I keeping you? Somewhere else you need to be?
No, not really. It's just, Could you give me a couple of minutes?
All right, try another angle. Move to the right.
It's not capturing.
It will. Just go deeper.
It's not capturing.
Try again.
Look, this is useless. We need to open her chest to get to her heart.
Katie.
No, stop, stop, stop her. No, you are not sterile. You need to leave. I know this is difficult, but you are creating more danger for Katie right now. Do you understand me? You need to leave.
Not until you tell me what you're doing.
Michael looks at Sahira.
We are going to take out her implants so we can open up her chest and fix her heart.
Open up!
Okay, you need to leave. Get her out of here. Go, now, go!
I want Mr. Barty!
Two assistants drag Debbie out of the theatre.
All right. Break out the carpentry kit.
Maybe we should get Samuel in here first.
Come on, you need to rest, Mr. Timms, okay? You're thirsty? No, not again, Mr. Timms. It makes such a terrible... Please! Yeah!
Arthur spills a jug of water over Sasha.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Mr. Timms. Mr. Timms.
Help me.
Arthur pulls Sasha's hand towards his crotch. Sasha backs out of the cubicle and finds Eddie.
Oh, that's water.
It's Mr. Timms. He put my hand on his...
On his what? You see? And there's you thinking you'd lost your mojo.
It's not funny. It's tragic. Poor old bugger. He's all confused and messed up. It's just not fair.
We're still talking about Mr. Timms, right?
Oh.
Mike is being wheeled through the Keller ward.
Is he going to be all right?
Who?
Mike. He's not going to be crippled or wheelchair-bound or... I don't know what's happening.
Come on, take a seat. It's going to be all right.
The clock on the wall ticks ever closer to four. Hansen's sitting at his desk, bolt upright and deadly serious. He taps the desk with his finger and glances at the clock. Dan crosses paths with Malik on the stairs.
Sorry. I tried, but...
I hope you thought about exactly what you're going to tell him. I would do whatever it takes to clear my name and save my career, you understand me?
What do you mean?
Well, if Chrissy tells Hansen that the big gay black doctor punched her boyfriend...
I'll sort it.
Have you forgotten about Sean? Steroids. You really want me to explain to him how we ended up in this situation in the first place?
Please, don't.
I'm already on a warning, Dan. My job is at stake. My whole career.
What am I supposed to do?
I don't know, but I'm not going to risk my job just because you've turned some little kiss into a huge, big thing. Dan.
I don't want to lose Chrissy.
Nor do I. She was my friend before she became your woman. But now she thinks I'm some kind of monster.
I told her.
About a kiss.
I can never tell her.
It was just a kiss.
It was a mistake.
In that case, you need to accept that my punch didn't happen either.
So, what do I tell Hansen?
We are plastics, Mike. We're all surface and superficiality. We do not cut people open.
We can't leave her arrhythmic any longer. It's not safe.
It's safer than opening her up. Look, the reason we went for implants rather than chest reconstruction was to avoid undue strain on her heart.
And even that was too much.
It could have been too much for anyone. There's no way we could have known.
There were signs of VSD.
There were?
You read the notes, you know there were.
But it had closed.
Well, the echo suggested that maybe not entirely.
Why did you press ahead without consulting me?
I have to consult you over everything?
When our reputation is at risk, yes. Her mother could sue us.
Sue us? She's already threatened to kill me.
All right, look. We need to get this girl back to her tiger of a mother just the way we promised. Breasts and heart intact.
All right. Let me try the electrode again.
There's a difference between brave and foolhardy.
Thank you, Mr. Spence. Let you and I try. Just once. If it goes wrong, plan B. Please, Miss Shah, just one more time.
Sahira preps the electrodes. Dan and Malik are in Hansen's office.
I will not tolerate violence among members of my staff.
I told you I tripped.
Perhaps this conversation would be better conducted without Mr. Malik.
I want him here.
Why?
Because we have a working relationship and any accusations against him relating to me, he should hear.
Sister Williams says you were fighting.
She was mistaken.
Was she?
Totally.
So what happened to your face?
I tripped.
Tripped. Mr. Malik?
He tripped.
So you reported it in the accident book, I presume?
Not yet.
Anything to add, Mr. Malik?
No, sir.
Both of you, please, get out of my office.
They quickly leave. Sahira's threading the electrode.
Advancing the electrode.
Sunil and Michael observe.
It's not capturing. We can't do it like
this. The angle's really tight. Just try and rotate 90 degrees clockwise. Now, push forward. Great. There's contact. Get the charge ready.
Pacemaker.
Michael appears envious.
Right. We need to get you out of these wet clothes. Yes. I'm a nurse, Mr. Timms. I've seen it all before. Don't you worry. Wow. You might want to buy me dinner first.
All the time.
All the time? Well, it's like that all of the time. So it's not me? Well, you certainly know how to make a girl feel good about herself, don't you? Okay. Mr. Levy, could you join me for a moment, please?
Excuse me.
Sasha gives Rosalind a bashful smile as he goes off to join Eddie and Arthur.
Goodness, Mr. Timms. Again?
He said he's like that all of the time.
See? There's hope for us all. There's nothing to be embarrassed about, sir, really. I think we should take a squint at what meds Mr. Timms is being prescribed.
Crips, please.
There's a lot of free fluid here. Microbiology pot. Send this for an MCNS.
Think you bought it?
Not unless you've recently had a lobotomy. And this for an AFB. Hold this back for me for a moment, please, Mr. Hamilton. Right back, please.
But you're in the clear, though.
Yeah, like I ever did anything wrong.
I don't think he'll take it any further.
I don't want to hear about Hanson, and I don't want to hear any more about your complicated love life.
And I did call it right, though.
You see? TB tumor, just like I said.
Ah, in the old scar tissue and on the appendix. Now, you see, if I was going to be all deep and symbolic, I might just have to point out that this is what happens when a man keeps a secret inside. It turns septic.
Good job I don't have any secrets then, isn't it?
Malik shakes his head.
Okay, now I cut out the appendix and hey presto. His heap of crap story suddenly becomes true. Scissors.
I don't understand. He said he was going to saw her open.
There were some very complex problems with Katie's heart, which, thanks to the amazing skill and dexterity of Miss Shah, one of the best cardiothoracic surgeons in the county, we were able to stabilize.
He said she would lose her implants.
Whereas, in fact, not only does Katie now have a stable heart, she also has a perfect pair of breasts. There she is. You'd be delighted to know that the operation went amazingly well.
So why did he tell me it was all going wrong?
A worst-case scenario, which we happened to turn around to a best-case one. I'm really happy with the results, Katie, and I hope you will be too. Oh, remind me again, what is your cup size?
34C.
Well, now that is perfect, because I just happen to have here a very pretty designer uplift in a 34C. You'd be amazed what plastic surgeons get given these days.
Sahira glances through the window at Michael, but he turns away.
Look at the size of this. The pressure this must have put on the nerve. No wonder he was incontinent. I'm going to drain it. Knife?
His wife wants to know whether she can watch from the gallery.
I think it's a good idea. That's a bit messy, isn't it? And patient confidentiality and all that.
She should know.
Maybe knowing his past wouldn't make the slightest difference to her.
Yes, but at least she would have the choice.
Chrissy stares pointedly at Dan and Malik before leaving. They turn to each other and share a thoughtful look. Sasha retrieves a printout in the AAU reception. He reads it.
Check this out.
His medication was changed a month ago.
Which is exactly when she said his behaviour changed.
Well, let's look for possible side effects.
Oh, he's also on these meds.
She types tamsulosin hydrochloride into a database.
Side effects. Possible depression, dizziness, hypersensitivity, and in some rare cases may manifest as a semi-permanent erectile state.
Bingo.
Do you want me to have a word with Rosalind? It might be easier coming from a woman.
Oh, please. Does it look like I need help communicating with an intelligent, mature, sophisticated woman?
Eddie pulls a face.
So, you just happen to have a designer label bra in the exact size?
No, I just know when it's worth getting one careered over.
Smooth.
Michael, you've been out of the plastics game for a while. It requires a different dynamic between patient and surgeon. More hand-holding, less drama.
Yeah, I'm aware. But this just happened to be a very particular patient with a very particular problem.
I'll let you into a secret. They all are. Oh, by the way, I've sent the proofs back to the printers. Had them blow up your photograph. You're absolutely right, you know. There is no point hiding one of our prime assets under a bushel.
Michael's foul mood dissipates as he takes in the new brochure cover.
Rosalind? I've got some good news. It seems his behavioural changes aren't related to his dementia.
Well, they must be, because he wasn't like this before he got ill.
The aggression is a reaction to a chemical imbalance. He's pumped with testosterone.
Really?
He has erectile dysfunction. I think that's why he keeps pouring water over himself. He's literally trying to cool himself down. His problem is basically not being able, but being too able. And he doesn't know what to do with himself.
So are you calling Daddy a dirty old man because he is not?
No, not at all.
Isn't his condition humiliating enough without you accusing him of this?
No, it's not an accusation, it's an observation. And one your father pointed out to me himself.
Well, just because he needs help going to the toilet doesn't mean to say he's a flasher.
We checked his meds, and it seems the pills he's on are the ones that are causing these.
Sorry, I don't feel comfortable talking about my father like this with you.
Oh, I didn't think, of course. Would it be better if I spoke to your mother?
Absolutely not. It's the last thing she needs to know.
Well, she probably knows already. She would have been on the receiving end.
Can you just go, please?
Sasha steps away, leaving Rosalind deeply uncomfortable. He stops and considers saying something else, but thinks better of it. Michael slumped at his desk, idly playing with a stapler. Sahira stops in the doorway and watches him.
He's a smooth operator.
I didn't come out of this so well.
But your patients did.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks to you.
You did all right, too. Look, be careful what you wish for. I'm sure that you can be a charmer, too, but I reckon that you'd rather be known for your surgical skills.
Clearly.
Sunil got lucky out there. He was watching the monitor from a different angle. Could just have easily not captured.
You know what? You're okay. This has been a learning experience. I'm glad we did this.
She laughs and walks out. Arthur's sleeping and Rosalind's sitting at his bedside checking her phone. She holds the phone to her chest and becomes upset as something dawns on her.
You've been very lucky, Mr. Milbourne. Had a bit of a wake-up call. You need to follow up with the GP and keep taking the TB medication. You need to get back in the system. It's there to help you.
I can't do that, though, can I? Not without opening up a big old can of worms.
Maybe she'd be understanding. It was a long time ago.
And maybe she wouldn't. Who's going to blame her? Maybe she'd freak out. She's a smart girl. She's going to realise something's up after today. She and the baby's the best thing that's happened to me. I don't want to lose them.
Maybe it's time to tell her the truth.
Dan considers his own words as he heads off. Arthur's now awake and Rosalind is buttoning up his shirt. Sasha comes over.
I am so sorry about the rather clumsy way I gave you your father's diagnosis. It was very shoddy of me.
No, I'm sorry. I owe you an apology. My mother has clearly been trying to tell me what you diagnosed for some time. It's all here, couched in her buttoned-up Englishness, but Dad's been very unsettled. It's been bothering me persistently. My poor mother.
You mustn't blame yourself.
So what's next? What's the plan of attack, as Daddy would have said?
Well, good news. We've spoken to our neurologist, and he's recommended your father stops taking the medication immediately. So we'll pass the information on to his GP, and he should be back to his old self within a few days.
Thank you so much for your patience. That's fantastic.
That's fine. And it was lovely to meet you too, Mr. Timms.
Excuse me.
OK. Can I help you?
Rosalind greets her boyfriend.
Mr. Timms? Kept these safe.
I think she likes me. In fact, I'm going to get them a cab. Play the valiant gentleman, the irresistible valiant gentleman.
I think she's already got a ride.
She and her boyfriend kiss.
Ho-hum. All the best ones are taken.
Aw, don't go a Russian novel on me.
Rosalind waves goodbye to Sasha and mouths, thank you.
Can you imagine really going out with her? It'd be your mummy this and daddy that. She'd have you playing bridge and dressed up in chinos before you knew it.
Yeah, you're right. What's wrong with chinos?
As Jenny approaches Dan, Mike gives him a pleading look across the ward.
Excuse me, can I have a private word with you about my husband?
Sure, what can I do for you?
I know there's something been going on. I'm not stupid. Something you're all doing your best to hide from me. Something that Mike doesn't want me to know.
And that's really something you should be talking to your husband about.
But all I want is to know. Is it something I need to know about? Or something I'm better off not knowing about?
Sorry, I'm not sure what you're asking me.
Is he dying?
No, not at all. He's not dying.
Is he having an affair?
No. I have no evidence to suggest that he's having an affair.
So all that appendix talk was really about his appendix?
Yes.
Thank you, Doctor.
She hugs him and Mike watches with a grateful expression. She walks off, then Chrissy joins Dan.
She's never going to know the truth, is she?
You don't know that.
Tell me what happened.
No. He tried to hide the truth about his stab wound and...
To you? With Malik?
Doesn't matter.
What did Hansen say? Tell me the truth.
You might not like it.
Do you know, I thought Malik was my friend. I thought I knew him.
He is your friend. You do know him. He's not some kind of monster. I am. Me. I'm to blame.
How?
I said some things. Stuff I regret, stuff I said, not because I meant it, but because I was angry at him for hijacking my surgery.
What stuff?
Below the belt. Really un-PC. Homophobic stuff.
Dan.
I know. Believe me, no one is more embarrassed or humiliated than me.
And if you ever, ever say anything like this again...
I know.
I've got to apologise to Malik.
I have. My God. So many times. I think maybe we should leave him some space. Give him time to calm down.
Sasha's leaning over a desk with a glum face. Eddie drops a dirty mag, the same one Arthur chose, onto the desk to cheer him up. He laughs and flicks through the pages. Dan is in the toilet applying a new dressing to his cut. He regards his reflection with a hint of shame.
No, I can't live this way.
Malik's sitting in the locker room looking contemplative. Chrissy stops as she passes the doorway and considers speaking to him, but decides to leave him alone.
Telling me.
Sunil, Michael and Sahira are preparing to leave.
Little alcoholic debrief? Yeah. How about you, Miss Shah? Bit of fist to blow away the cares of cardiology?
No, I've got to get back to the kids and prep for the trial.
Oh, come on, let's leave the work ethic at work, shall we? Besides which, I think we owe you some bubbles for helping us out so brilliantly today.
It's nice to be appreciated. Sadly, we can't all rest on our laurels. See ya.
Shall we?
No, I think I'm good.
Really?
Yeah, I'm gonna do some work at home.
Sunil scoffs, but Michael takes no notice and watches Sahira leave. Malik stands at a window in the stairwell and stares out at Dan and Chrissy walking across the car park. They josh and flirt, then he puts an arm around her and gives her a kiss. Malik turns away, looking hurt.